I have to say I'm a little bit surprised Riley's with us. If you did not know the story, we were talking about a guy that bet $1,500 back in November on Texas Tech at 200-1 odds to win the national championship. And, of course, Texas Tech lost in overtime last night. It's now time to reveal the person that bet that $1,500 and now is crying, and that's Riley. No, I'm kidding. It's not Riley. But man, if you were that person, you probably should have hedged your bet and bet on Virginia last night, at least made some money, right, Riley?
If only I had $1,500 to bet, I think I would have done that.
Yeah, right. You're on that Texas Tech bandwagon way before other people were, of course, as we heard in the intro. Riley Gates, Go Power Cat, is with us to talk K-State Spring Showcase. But real quickly, what were just your impressions of the tournament, the Final Four? And I know, I think you were pulling for Texas Tech to win. I was too, but at the same time, I don't know how you can hate on a guy like Tony Bennett, a class act, and everything that they went through last year after losing to a 16 seed, including death threats and everything else. I guess it was, for me, it was nice to see somebody new win it.
Yeah, it was fun. You know, I was cheering for Tech. I really wanted not just the Big 12, but I'm a huge Chris Beard fan, and I really wanted them to win it. But it is it's sad, though, it's against Virginia, because I don't mind Virginia. And, you know, I try not to get wrapped up in the whole recency bias thing, because people do that a lot. But, I mean, I legitimately do believe that was one of the best national championships we've seen in years, honestly. You know, people want to point to the game a few years back, the Carolina and Villanova one. And that was a great game, don't get me wrong. And that ending was absurd, and that's why people want to say it was the best ever. But for me, this was 40 minutes of really good basketball by both teams. And I was honestly one of my favorite games. So it was a pretty good tournament overall. It started really slow. You know, those first two rounds were not very fun, and they're just kind of pretty boring, but it really kind of heated up there in the Elite Eight, and we got a really good finish down the stretch.
Yep, I agree with you. The Final Four was fantastic. The games were tight and close, no blowouts, and I really like it when they're new blood that's in the Final Four. I love the fact that Auburn made it, or of course, Texas Tech made it. And it's also, you have that one guy like Tom Izzo, Michigan State, that made it, which I know you're a Duke fan. I think you are, at least a Zion fan, so you might not have liked that Duke lost to Michigan State. But I thought it was good that we didn't have all the blue bloods in there, because I'm sure, you know, in future years we'll have that again. It was kind of refreshing to see some new blood in the Final Four, and Virginia is the national champion. All right, speaking of new blood, Chris Klieman, new head football coach at Kansas State University, as most people know by now. If you don't, I don't know where you've been. The spring showcase, they're making changes, and one of the biggest things we know about when you change a head coach, and especially at Kansas State, this is like a complete 180, isn't it, in regards to access, as we've talked about before, and how they put things together. Give people an idea what K-State's going for with this football spring showcase coming up this weekend.
Hey, you mentioned new access. I was at football practice yesterday. How about that one? That's something new.
Makes your job tougher, because you now have to go cover that stuff now, don't you?
Yeah, look at that. Yeah, no, the spring showcase this Saturday at 1, and it's going to be – it starts out with some position drills on the field. You know, I imagine quarterbacks and receivers will work together, and you know, maybe some receivers and D-backs, you know, just different types of drills. And while those are going on, they're going to have, you know, Wyatt Thompson and Stan Weber talking about it and interviewing some assistant coaches on the loudspeaker at the stadium, so, you know, the fans in the stadium can hear it. And then after that, they're going to transition into a scrimmage with the team. And during that time, Chris Klieman will be on the microphone, you know, kind of like a white hat in a football game, and kind of just, you know, whether it's answering questions, whether it's coaching the team, I'm not really sure what he's going to do there, but he's going to be talking over the speakers as well. So it's going to be, I guess, for lack of a better term, interactive with the fans in terms of the on-the-field stuff, which is going to be real great, I think. You know, the spring game itself was, I didn't always hate it. I mean, it's a full football game in the spring, but this is fun and different. It's something new, and people will really be interested in it. And also, it sounds like they're going to have some really fun activities and whatever in terms of not on the field. They're having a gear sale at the indoor facility before the event starts, so they're kind of going to sell some K-State stuff there. They've got a beer garden. They've got bowl trophies out. I mean, it's going to be an event, and so, you know, if you're going to this thing, you know, $5 ticket, and it's a lot of fun, and a lot of things you can really kind of soak up K-State football in.
Yeah, a lot of things for the kiddos to do, too. I'm seeing here on the map at kstatesports.com, inflatable games, Willie's Fun Zone, lots of things for the kids. It makes it a family atmosphere, so you can, you know, kick the kids to the curb and do that stuff while you go in and watch what's happening on the field. It is refreshing, and it almost seems, we talk about this so much, but it seems like it's been a couple years since Bill Snyder coached at Kansas State, because there's just been so many changes, and for the better, I think, for the fan base and for the media. But as we've talked about, this is all great while it lasts, but you're still going to have to win on the field, and Bill Snyder did a great job of doing that in his career at Kansas State. But do you feel, I mean, personally, when you see all of this happening and we get caught up in the new access, and it's like a, you know, kid that sees this big present under the tree on Christmas morning and is speechless. But what happens once this all wears off? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's the thing. You're gonna keep seeing videos, and you're gonna keep seeing pictures, you're gonna be on social media all summer, and it's gonna be fun, and people are gonna be laughing, and they're gonna be so excited. But it does, at the end of the day, comes down to, do you win on Saturdays? Do you go back to a bowl game? And that's where it's going to get interesting. I'm of the opinion that Chris Klieman is going to win some games, but he's probably going to lose more games this year than he did in the last, few years combined at North Dakota State. You know, he lost six in his entire time at North Dakota State, and, probably lose, four or five, something like that, I think, in his first year. So it's going to be a lot of a culture change, I guess, or in terms of him as a football coach. And adjusting to this new setting where it's not as easy to win for him. But, I do think he's going to have success. But if he doesn't, I think you're going to quickly see those tides turn, those same people that criticize the hire from the moment it happened. You know, he can't win at this level. He's not a Division I football coach. You're going to hear that, and you're going to hear it really, really loud. So you're going to have to, I'm not saying don't have fun. I mean, I think having fun and being on social media is what you got to do. I think KU right now is maybe lacking a little bit in that department with less miles, because from what I'm hearing, it sounds like they're really not providing all that much access to the football program in Lawrence, and really the only one that really gets to have any inside talk with players and coaches is Les Miles' daughter, who apparently works for KU. So I think K-State's doing it right in terms of they're getting people excited and optimistic for the football season. But it is going to come down to wins and losses, and it's going to matter what you do on the field on Saturdays. And so you're going to have to be focused and locked in while still having, like I said, that fun and that interaction with the fan base.
Go Powercats. Riley Gates, our guest every Tuesday on the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit and Heineken Electric Residential and Commercial Electric Service Company. All right, so what are you personally looking at when the players are on the field doing drills, whatever, and then the scrimmage itself? What is there anything in particular, or you have some notes already saying, hey, here are the things I want to be looking for, and just give us an idea of what you're trying to key in on.
Yeah, well, the one that I've been pounding on the most this whole transition period is the running backs, obviously losing three guys that were playing and having to bring in a grad transfer and a transfer from Louisville and Harry Trotter. I mean, I think that you've got some pretty big shoes to fill here if you're James Gilbert and Harry Trotter. So looking at how the running backs stack up, who gets carries when, things like that, I'm looking to see how much they want to throw. And some different formations too. Yesterday I noticed they run a jet sweep like package, which was really interesting. It's not something you've seen a lot of at K-State, so I think that they have some new offensive formations they're going to throw in there and keep an eye on, because I don't think the staff is one that's going to hide it. Bill Snyder would go out there and he wouldn't really show what he's going to do, and I'm not saying they're going to reveal the entire playbook, but I do think they're going to be a little bit more open, because I think they feel pretty confident in what they have. Who cares if you know what we're going to do? We're still going to beat you with it. But the biggest thing that I'm really looking forward to seeing is who lines up in which defensive backfield positions. We're facing a really interesting thing here where Scotty Hazleton likes to pull his nickel backs and put him more of on a linebacker role, which is something we haven't seen at K-State. And frankly, the nickel backs at K-State are small. Walter Neal is, I'm not kidding, shorter than me and weighs less than me. And he's playing nickelback and linebacker and absorbing hits from big guys. And I don't know how he's going to do it, but he's going to be in that position. They've got guys going to nickel that you would think are safeties. They've got safeties going to cornerbacks. So they've really got a lot of different shifts and movements in this defensive backfield, and I'm really excited to see who's where officially and what we might be able to expect out of the defensive backfield.
Well, it's going to be a lot of fun, and hopefully the weather will cooperate coming up this weekend for the spring football showcase. The other thing I think would be just seeing the schemes like you were talking about, the different types of formations and schemes. And you're not going to see, of course, probably a ton in this situation, but just seeing the coaches interacting with the players, is that another thing that is going to feel a lot different, is just the entire newness of the coaching staff and how they relate to the players both on and off the field?
Oh, yeah. And you know, I think the last staff did to a certain extent. Obviously, and you know, we just didn't see it all that much because they refused to allow any sort of inside look into the program. But I do think that the staff is on a different level. I mean, if you really want to see what these players think of the coaches and vice versa, just go to the K-State football Twitter, the K-State, I imagine they're on Facebook too, and watch the coaches mic'd up videos. I mean, you know, they're joking around with players, they're yelling at players. It's really fun to see kind of what they're like in their element and get a vibe for how they coach and what they act like. You know, is it just all a big cover-up, or is this really what they're like? Is Van Malone as exciting and as fun to be around in practice as he says he is, or is this a show that he puts on? And I've really been impressed with how the staff has come in and I guess made themselves at home, if that's a fair way to put that. You know, yesterday, watching Connor Riley work with the offensive lineman, he was getting after him, you know, and in a way that it almost seemed like he had been there for 2-3 years. And he wasn't afraid to get up in their face and tell them they're doing something. I'm not saying that, like, oh, a new coach was never going to do that, but I don't know. I just feel like they've done a really good job of coming in and making this their place and earning the respect of the players, because that was obviously a big hurdle that they had to clear. And I think that they've passed that challenge of flying colors. So, yeah, I think getting to realize that these are our players' coaches and just being in contact with them as fans is going to be huge for the fan base. They're going to know what the coaches are like, and they're going to see them as people, not just, you know, guys in a box that they never hear from.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun to follow, no question. Just a little bit more information about the spring showcase, in case people want to attend. There is a charge for the spring showcase, but it's only $5 for GA tickets, from what I'm reading here. And then if you you know, contact Riley, he'll get you in for free. and then the gates open at 11:30, it looks like. And there's a scrimmage going to start at 1? Because at the very top here at kstatesports.com, it says 1 o'clock. Is that when the scrimmage is going to be, or is that when they just start doing things on the field?
Yeah, the drills will start first, and then the scrimmage will follow that. I think it's like a 30-minute period or something like that, maybe. I can't remember the time frames exactly.
I got you. Lots of stuff for the kids, stuff for the grown-ups, too. There's a beer garden, and... Well, you know, no event is complete without the beer garden, of course. So there's face painting and giveaways. It'll be a lot of fun there at Bill Snyder Family Stadium for the unveiling, I guess, the first time we really see it to the public of the team under Coach Kleiman. All right, Riley, time for our off-the-wall question. Wait, before I get to that, K-State, to basketball real quick. K-State, we talked about how earlier on our show that KU is Dedrick Lawson's going pro, and they've got a couple others that are going to transfer, KJ Lawson, Charlie Moore. But K-State actually has somebody that's going to transfer, and it's a kid that we barely knew.
Yeah, it's interesting. Good news, Pega Ole is off the team. He's leaving, and he was here for a semester, and we never saw him play. I guess I don't have tons to say about him. If I'm going to be dead honest with you, and I never wanted to say this about the kid when he signed, you know, I didn't want to take the wind out of his sails. I didn't want to belittle, I guess, a current player, but I never got this one. It was an incredibly late addition, you know, added him as a commitment in like October, November-ish, and, you know, he signed, and then boom, on New Year's Eve was his first day here, and he was practicing with the team, early enrollment. You know, I questioned his skill a little bit from the recruiting, but I kind of thought, okay, you know, he'll get a senior year under his belt. He'll come in June, and he'll work out for 3 months, and who knows? Maybe he'll be a nice role player, or maybe even better than that. He has so much optimism or so much potential, just because you never know what could happen. I mean, guys like Barry Brown will often do something really special, and he was a three-star as well. But I just didn't like – I felt like they were rushing it, and it didn't make a whole lot of sense to me to rush him onto campus, especially when his skill was in question a little bit from people I was talking to as well. You know, it seems to me like the staff decided that they had a scholarship and they could just roll the dice on somebody and maybe it would work out for him in the end, and clearly it didn't. Personally, I would have rather seen them give a scholarship to, you know, someone like a Pearson McAtee or you know, a senior, kind of like what Austin Budke went through in his final semester at K-State when he got put on scholarship. You know, not necessarily getting it because you're making a huge impact on the team in terms of production on the floor, but you're giving significant time here and there, and your practice minutes are incredibly valuable, and you're a pretty big part of the team. And I feel like that's what Austin was. I feel like that's what Pearson is for this team. So I feel like someone like him should have gotten that scholarship instead of Good News. And, you know, they have the open scholarship, but I think they're going to go out and sign a either a grad transfer or a late 2019 recruit. We'll see exactly who they're going after and what they end up doing. But it'll be interesting. I guess I just hope if they're going to take someone, they don't, I guess, for lack of a better term, take a flyer on somebody like I think they did on Good News there.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. All right, time for the off-the-wall question. What one rule in all of sports, you could pick any sport, any rule, but you're only allowed to change one rule. That's it, Riley. No, not two, not three. You only get one rule to change in sports. What rule would you change and why?
I feel like this stems from Parker.
No, actually, no. Well, it kind of does, but my answer is different than what people think my answer would be. So that's the spin on it. But I want to hear what you have to say.
That's fair. Oh boy, I think that if we're going to change one rule in any sport, I would probably want to say that I think. Oh man. In football, I'm gonna go with, this is so hard because like I can think of a lot of different ones, mm-hmm. And a lot of different sports that I wanted to go with. I'll say football, and okay, I got it. I'll say football and illegal man downfield, because I think a lot of time I got called for illegal man downfield like two or three times in my career, and I was just blocking on a screenplay. Come on now, like. I felt like refs were always, like, iffy with that line and, like, oh, you know, I think he crossed it, whatever. So I think off the top of my head, I'll go with that one. That seems like a good one to change.
I should have known it would come back to your playing days when I asked that question. Shame on me for not anticipating that. Man, oh, man. Mine would be, and it's not what we talked about yesterday. I everybody has an opinion. That's just my opinion and about yesterday. I'm not going to rehash it. But for me, I don't like rules that are, I think, too punitive, that I think are too big of a penalty. And the one I would change, and people might disagree with me or not, but because it's interesting because the rule is applied differently at high school and college and pro. But I've never been a big fan of the 60-yard pass interference penalty at the spot of the foul. I just think, because if you have a bad call by an official and he misses it, you have given the other team 60 yards of field position on a mistake. And that kind of ties back to the three-point shot. If you mess up calling a foul that wasn't a foul on a three-point shot, you're punishing the defense by giving three free throws to the other guy. I just think it's a little too punitive in regards to what you benefit based on a call that could be judgmental, questionable, or maybe totally incorrect. So I'm all for the 15-yard penalty, or if you want to give them 25, 20, 15, change it, automatic first down. But I don't know, man. I just imagine a Hail Mary at the end of a game, which they say now coaches will be able to challenge if there's a push in the back, which there always is on a Hail Mary. So you're going to reward the ball at the one and have one on time down because it's a jump ball? I don't like where that's headed, man.
No, I don't really like that rule either. And, you know, another thing I would throw in there is like this year in bat, and this, I don't know if this qualifies as a rule change, but maybe just an officiating stance, is the fact that, like, they encourage referees to wait and, you know, like a layup or something like that. Mm-hmm. They encourage them to wait until after the shot either goes in or doesn't go in before they decide if they're going to call a foul. If it's a foul, call the foul.
Amen.
And you move on with your life.
Amen.
Come on now.
Amen. I'm with you there. Just because it went in, that means there was no foul? No.
That's just so stupid.
I agree with you there. Now, if I had to change the rules of the NBA, there'd be a lot of things I'd change there. But I like maybe actually calling some of the rules that exist in the rule book. But anyway, I digress. Well, always enjoy having you on. What are you working on? I'm guessing it's a lot of football right now. Go Powercat.
Yeah, lots of football, obviously. But we've got the we're going to go to the basketball banquet on Thursday and, you know, catch up with Coach Weber and you know, probably seniors and Xavier Sneed, hopefully get an update on him for the NBA draft, whether or not he's going to do it. You know, get a little milk a little bit more basketball out of this before we get into the summer. And then, you know, I'd really encourage people to get on the site if you're not already. You know, first off, you can get 30% off of an annual membership right now, which is huge. I mean, it's the best discount out there that you're going to find. But we're about to start ramping up something really special in terms of video production. We've built this amazing studio for video, and we can do so much more video content. We're going to have a lot of fun video interviews over the summer with some people and start that series. So we're really going to get that going here after the spring showcase is done. And it'll be summer, but it should be pretty exciting still.
It does sound exciting and new in technology. It's just amazing where we can go nowadays with communicating in the digital world. It is pretty impressive and fun to see what's next. Yeah, do a great job, as does everybody at the staff at Go Powercat. We will talk to you again next week and recap the spring showcase and go from there. Thanks, Riley.
Sounds good, bud. Talk to you then.
That's Riley Gates, our Wildcat insider. He's from Go Powercat. Check him out online and, yeah, subscribe. Great deals going on there all the time. Go Powercat, gopowercat.com. Check it all out. Riley Gates, our Wildcat insider, brought to you by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit and Heineken Electric Residential and Commercial Electric Service Company.